Chairshot Radio Network. Now welcome the hosts of Pin the Shoulders Podcast, Serious Brad and Lethal J.
What's up, everybody? That would be me. I am Serious Brad, host of Pin the Shoulders Podcast. Folks, welcome to the anniversary special. That means, yes, folks, believe it or not, we have made it a full year without being torn off of the airways. So bravo to us. We are excited. We have an amazing guest this evening. We have the pretty boy Pitbull himself, Ring of Honor's Kenny King, joining us to talk about his career and the brutal battle that he just came off of with the Ring of Honor's last pay-per-view final battle. So, but, you know, I had to make this show, of course, full circle. I had to make sure that the guys that made this show awesome, part of it. And one of those people, folks, is the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
We're doing really good, man. Really happy to have you back on the show. You've been a part of Pin the Shoulders Podcast for, 16-plus episodes. So I thought it was pretty important that we have the president of wrestling join us for this very prestigious night.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, sir. And, of course, another man I'm sure has been, 30-plus episodes, the James, the JQ Way James Quinn. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Brad. How you been, brother?
Doing really good, man. I'm jumping all over the place right now. You'd think I'd have about 15 cups of coffee, but that's not the case. I'm just really excited for this show. But, man, I'm really glad to have, two of the main guys back on the show joining me to celebrate this. And, of course, the co-host, the new co-host, our New Japan correspondent, and all around just cool fucking dude, Lethal J. How's it going, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing really good. And actually, I don't think you've met James Quinn, but I don't think you've met the president of wrestling. Mr. President, Lethal J.
Jay, it's good to meet you.
You as well.
There it is.
Sir,
I was waiting for it. Well, hey, guys. We're going to be having Kenny King from Ring of Honor join us real soon. But I need, of course, get my thanks in to the Chairshot Radio Network. Actually, we have evolved. We went from prowrestling.biz when I first started to yeswrestling.com. Now we are under a new umbrella, a complete umbrella, if you will. And that umbrella is called the Chairshot Radio Network. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of this organization. We are getting bigger and bigger. Greg DeMarco, shout out to you, man. Really appreciate what you've done for us. And, of course, Squared Circle Apparel. Go check out Tim's work over there, Square Circle Apparel or AP.com. He's got some great stuff. Put in Serious Strategy promo code. You're going to get some, you're going to get 15% off your order. And then, of course, Haiku Hydration Energy, Grapple merch. And, that's pretty much it. Those are the people that have been around and have been part of the glue that has kept Pin the Shoulders Podcast together. And, folks, we got Kenny King joining us real soon. And I don't know if you've seen Pin the Shoulders Podcast media, but we have a huge announcement. Our first, and I'm really pumped about this. It's friggin' rad to me. But our first 2018 interview will be Matt Riddle. He'll be joining us. And, bro, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those interviews that you're not going to want to miss. Phil, have you actually?
Are you gonna
Mr. President, have you?
Are you going to be saying? Are you going to be saying, bro, from now until mid-January?
There's a good chance of it. There's a good chance of it. I think there's an actual app that will count the amount of times that you hashtag bro or say bro. If there's not, then there should be one. Oh, come on! That was good shit. Anyways, before
hey, we can
Kenny
get
King,
one.
We could definitely get one. I'm sure there's someone out there that would be happy to just give it a whirl. But Mr. President, what has been going on in your neck of the woods? Because actually, your neck of the woods is a very huge radius, if you will. But I'm sure there's some things that, since you've been on the show, have been, you know, a highlight in your journey.
So kind of all over the place. Still
yeah.
the general manager for MCW Pro Wrestling. That keeps me quite active and busy. Just recently returned to do commentary at Combat Zone Wrestling. Wrestling Revolver is kicking back up again. We're getting ready for, I think between now and April, we're going to have 3 events. So we're looking to hitting a stride there. I have 2 TV shows I'm going to be in coming out in the spring. So
very nice.
It's been an interesting time.
Well, you just can't say you're going to be in 2 TV shows and not let us. You gotta let us know, man. What's going on?
So,
what channels do we need to be DVRing?
They're both going to be on Investigation Discovery.
Sweet.
One is an episode of Evil Twins. No, I am not the Evil Twin. Unless I am, and that was a giant spur. Then the other is an episode of Who Killed Jane Doe.
Hey, man. Folks, you heard it. When you're listening back to Finish Those Podcast tomorrow morning, when you're eating your grapefruit coffee, write down those dates because you're not going to want to miss the president of wrestling, you know, doing his thing, which, by the way, you're pretty damn good at. I have to give you props on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Mr. James Quinn. Since we're talking about, you know, acting, movies, and television, I'm sure you've been part of a few projects just in the last few months. How are those projects going?
Going awesome, Brad. I just want to take a second actually to say hello to Mr. Philip Stamper, the president. Mr. President, how are you?
I'm well. Good to hear from you.
You also, brother. It's been too long. And also, Mr. Lethal J, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Good. Good to hear you guys again.
You as well.
Yeah, Brad. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, we're keeping busy. I just got done working on a few projects, actually, for Amazon Prime. One actually just got released this week, and another one that's being pitched to it, so I can't talk about it right now. But the one that just got released is called Precinct 69. It was just released on there the other day. The first couple episodes are on there. I believe I'm in episode 2. And so we've been working hand-in-hand with Amazon Prime on a few projects here the past several months. And then I got back into writing, too, recently, so that's been really keeping me occupied. I got a lot of things happening behind the scenes there. And so we're just, you know, pounding the pavement like always, man, taking care of the family, getting ready for the holidays. Tis the season, so happy holidays to everybody here at Pin the Shoulders Podcast.
Yes, Merry Christmas, sir. Happy holidays. We actually already did our Christmas.
Did I miss Christmas? Again?
No, you didn't miss it. It's just
what year
it's just,
is it, sir?
you gotta stay away from that DeLorean, man. That mm-hmm. that radiation stuff is really bad for you right here.
Hey, Scott. Yeah,
<right. laughs> Oh man, Lethal J, our new Japan correspondent. Lots of stuff has been going on. What are some bullet points that we're going to be talking about later in the show after we speak with Kenny King?
Wrestle Kingdom's pretty much all set. It's pretty much all ready to go. That's a big thing, obviously. Probably the big thing in New Japan is Kenny and Chris, of course, and stuff, and the things that have been going on with them outside and everything. So, yeah, there's been lots of good stuff happening lately. Also, some former New Japan stars that are probably headed for WWE as well. So that's pretty interesting as well, so I'll probably talk about that too.
Yeah, you kind of got me excited about that because I haven't heard about that. Now I kind of feel this is something we need to talk about right now. give me a hint, man. Like who are we talking about? Who plans on
one of the people we've already discussed in the past about it and stuff. And that would be Ricochet. Like, I guess it's pretty much, it's not confirmed, but he's pretty much going to be going and signing. And then also another one, which I recently discovered and read about, was that it looks like War Machine actually is in talks with WWE, which is real interesting because I didn't know anything. I hadn't read anything about them at all, and apparently from what I've read, that there's a good chance that they might be NXT bound as well.
War Machine. That's one hell of a thought. Yes, very much so. There's a few people I'd like to see those two giant woodland beasts. I've always wanted to say that because those guys are just freaking manly and beastly, and they look like they literally like just tear trees out of the ground using them as toothpicks. But who are some people that you would like to see the War Machine go up against? James Quinn.
In NXT or WWE in general? I mean, I'd love to see
in general.
The Machine again.
I mean,
yeah. Well, two of them are already there in NXT, and that would be, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and we've seen that in the past in ROH. But that's just because you know me; I'm a big advocate for Ring of Honor. But let's go head up.
Absolutely.
Let's go head up into WWE. Let's say they fast forward and make it to Raw pretty quick. About War Machine versus the Hardys. I mean, once we have a healthy Jeff Hardy.
That would be interesting. That would be absolutely. I hate to say this, guys, and some people may not agree with me. But the Bludgeon Brothers, man, I won't lie to you. I'm very intrigued, and they kind of remind me of War Machine. I don't know if you've seen these guys or not. Phil Stamper, have you seen the Bludgeon Brothers? And how do you?
Honestly, in that encounter, I kind of want to go for War Machine. So I know a lot more people that are connected to Hart Williams will probably come out and find me for saying that. But
I don't know if anyone else is having a hard time hearing Phil or not. But folks, sorry for if it's on my end, but we're having a. Phil is on a little lower volume at this moment, but
I will try to reconfigure it.
Oh, there we go. There it is. Booyah. There he is. He's back. But since we are Kenny King seems to be falling behind a little bit. That happens. He's a very busy person, and hopefully he'll be joining us soon. I say we just go ahead and start talking about some things that are happening in the world of wrestling, and. You know, one of the things that are kind of striking my interest is, and this is going to sound bad, but it is what it is, guys. It's wrestling entertainment, and this actually entertains me. And damned if you do, damned if you don't. But actually, it looks like we have someone joining us right now. Folks, this
Hello?
Gentleman right here just came off of a huge, grueling battle. At Final Battle of Ring of Honor, this guy is the pretty boy Pitbull, Kenny King. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Sorry I'm late, man. I just had to play, Genghis Khan dad. My little girl, we were supposed to go see Star Wars later, and she told me that she had most of her project done, and when I contacted her teacher, there's all kinds of stuff that's not done that should be done, so I just had to go raise a little hell, but here I am. I'm all right now, though.
Hey, man, dad duties always come first. Absolutely. And we all know that, sir. So bravo to you. I'm glad that you could get that taken care of and join us at the same time. First of all, it's a pleasure to have you on. But since I kind of said this in the introduction, Ring of Honor Final Battle, you had one hell of a fight. You had Silas Song, you had Shane Taylor, and then you had,
Punishment Martinez.
Actually, yes, thank you very much. Punishment Martinez. That is one heck of a fatal four-way. Could you tell us what was going on, I mean, in your head, when you stepped in the middle of the ring with these four very capable opponents?
Well, I mean, it's an elimination match, so it's... It's one of the most difficult matches there is because, you know, I have to keep my head on a swivel, and one pinfall doesn't do it. I've got to you know, beat three other dudes, or make sure that I'm not beat. And, you know, it's just one of those things where these are, you know, one guy can knock you out with one punch. Silas Young is a very capable grappler, wrestler. Punishment Martinez is a damn second degree black belt in like a Shotokan karate. So there's him, besides him being 6'7", is, you know, his feet, he can kick you in the head at the drop of a hat. So there's just so much going on, and there's so much to think about, and everybody wants to take me out because you know, I'm the champ. And that's all I kept thinking about is just keep your head on a swivel, keep your head on a swivel. And, you know, the one time I blinked, I turned around and, you know, it was lights out. I got a beer bottle smashed over my head, and that was it.
Now, unfortunately, you did lose the belt to Silas Young. What's your next plan in getting that belt back?
Well, I mean, that's he didn't beat me, and I think that's what the sad thing is. You know, Silas Young claims to be the last real man, but the point is he took Punishment Martinez, who's a certified monster, 6'7", 260-70 pounds, and he beat
very
him
scary.
Clean in the middle of the ring. But he had to bust me over the head with a bottle, and I don't respect that. So that is, you know, everything else is on hold right now. All the other plans until I get my rematch and until I see Silas Young in that ring one-on-one. Everything else is on hold.
There it is. And of course, all your fans are looking forward to seeing that. And we'll be looking out for that, of course. One of the main things that we like to do on this show, sir, is we like to get our listeners kind of, if you will, up to date with the top independent stars. And, of course, you're one of those people that came to mind. Where did you get your start in professional wrestling? Who were the people that kind of, you know, pointed you towards that and, you know, just got you started?
I'm a tough enough kid. I was on the second season of Tough Enough. You know, I played football up until the minute that I stepped into a wrestling ring. And then I never played football again. You know, I was trained by Al Snow, Bob Holly, Chavo Guerrero, and Ivory. And, you know, it was just this crazy experience. It was a thing that once I did that, I was, you know, I was hooked. I had to go and continue on my pro wrestling education. And I went to a school when I got back to Vegas. And then I was, you know, I was trained by Scott Casey, also trained Booker T, and Nick Bockwinkel also had a very, very, very strong influence on training me with my promos and my characters. So, you know, I was very blessed in wrestling to go to let's say, you know, very good school, and then I got my master's degree with you know, Nick Bockwinkel. So, once with that kind of pedigree, you know, all I really had to do was put in the work.
And that's you know, for lack of better words, I mean, it's you're literally probably the more well-rounded wrestlers that are in the business today. I mean, if you have a pedigree like that, it's very easy to find opponents and have people that are willing to you know, put on an awesome show with you.
Absolutely, you know, and that just comes with the benefits and the age, and I've been doing this, you know, November made 16 years, so I've been doing this for 16 years, and just I've had the benefit of the honor and the pleasure of wrestling guys all over the world and guys that have been doing this way longer than I have. So, you know, I've been taught, really been blessed and been taught a lot.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a lot that we're going to cover throughout the show. But this is my anniversary special, and I couldn't have my anniversary special without, you know, my round table, the guys that have been with me through a lot of Pin the Shoulders podcasts. One of those people are James Quinn, the JQ Way, independent film actor and TV actor. James, Kenny King.
Mr. Kenny
How's
King,
doing,
it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm doing great.
Nice
yourself?
To meet you too, James. Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I'm, you know, I'm having a beer now that I had to yell at an 11-year-old. It's all good.
Yeah, hey, I know what that's all about. Trust me, sir. Yeah, the dad thing comes first, the family life. I do know that. I got a daughter myself. I want to congratulate you on an amazing Ring of Honor television run because I am a huge supporter of Ring of Honor, and you're definitely one of my top draws to watch there. So I really appreciate the product. Right now.
Thank you very much.
And then
what
we've got
match, final battle.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And we've got the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper, joining us as well.
Mr. President.
Sir, it's so good to hear you. Hear from you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine, friend. Doing just fine.
And then my right hand man, my go to guy for New Japan Wrestling, Lethal J. It's a big cast.
Hey, Kenny, thanks for coming on the show, man. Good to have you.
Nice. Yeah, thank you, Jay. Nice to meet you.
You too. You too.
And, of course, fellas, anytime that you want to interject, just, you know, tell Serious Fred to shut the hell up and move over and ask the questions. But, you know, I want to kind of jump back to all the guys that helped you make the pedigree that you have right now. The guys that helped train you, Al Snow, Chavo Guerrero Jr., you know, Bob Holly, Ivory. What are some unique qualities of these people that, have stuck with you throughout your career in professional wrestling? Or is there anything specific, like, you know, when you do it, you're like, oh, Al Snow taught me that, or, you know, Bob Holly taught me that?
You know, I think each one of them kind of, I think the only person that I actually learned, like, and that gave a physical, actual move from that I still use today is Chavo Guerrero. Like, there's a reversal that I do out of a hammerlock. It's a lucha reversal where I spin twice and I pull down the Japanese arm dragon and I kip up. And Chavo Guerrero taught me that the day that I did our final exam wrestling, you know, for Tough Enough. And he was like, I think you can do this. And I did it, and I pulled it off without a hitch. The first time ever doing it, and I've been doing it, you know, ever since. But from the other people, I think it's more ideology and mentality. Like Bob Holly is very hard nosed, very tough, and I think that Bob always stressed, because he lived this, no matter how hard you get hit, no matter how hurt you feel, you got to finish the match. You're professional. The business is, you know, to entertain the fans and finish the match. Unless you are unconscious, finish the match. And Bob, you know, got his arm broke by Kurt Angle on a moonsault and finished the match. So
yeah, that's amazing.
And Al's what I, you know, every time I still see Al and talk to him, and this really is Ivory too, just the love of the business, the love and the respect of the business, and to take care of the business and treat it as a, you know, treat it like it means something, because it provides for not just me, myself, my family, and it provides my friends with a wonderful living. And and that was just something that I learned early, is just to respect the business and treat it like a business, but also treat it like it's something special.
Well, that's because there's just so many people that have, you know, built this industry and built the road for this industry. And if someone were to disrespect, you're not just disrespecting one person, you're disrespecting a lineage of people. And no one wants to be around someone like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is, for the most part, I can say that, 90% of the guys that I work with, you know, that's why Ring of Honor works, because everybody respects the business, everybody loves the business, everybody wants to contribute to the business in their way, and when you have a group of guys like that, you know, that creates a synergy, and that's the reason why ROH is hot right now, because top to bottom, everybody just wants it to shine.
Oh, absolutely. Now I have to ask you, and this is kind of a weird question. Do you have any pre-match or post-match rituals? And who has the weirdest pre-match or post-match ritual in the Ring of Honor locker room right now?
I think the weirdest pre-match ritual is the dogs. The dogs should own stock in spray tan companies, because if they don't, they're being taken advantage of. And realistically, if they don't, I feel like I should. So one of the weirdest things you'll ever see, and behind the scenes at a Ring of Honor, about 3:00, anywhere between 1:30 to 3:00, you'll see Will Ferrer and Rhett Titus not only spray tan each other with these little aerosol cans, but they'll stand out in the parking lot or in the back or wherever, basically outside in their underwear while their spray tan dries. And they'll just stand there with our hands on their hips and just two big dudes in their drawers just kicking it, while the wrestling show is getting set up.
Standing beside a lawnmower with a cigar, right?
You know what? It just depends on the state.
Right.
Sometimes a lawnmower, sometimes a Zamboni. It just depends on where we're at.
What's some favorite music? What are your some of your favorite musical artists that you enjoy to listen to? Maybe during workouts, during practice, whatever it may be. Who kind of gets you psyched up to do what you want to do?
Man, I listen to so much different stuff when I'm. I think really when I'm working out and cardio especially, that's really when I really need to get motivated. I don't listen to anything quote unquote hip hop from like 2015 on. So anybody with a little young or when these weird dudes that mumbles when they raps, I don't listen to. So like I listen to like Fabulous, Jadakiss, Wu-Tang, Nirvana, Metallica, Rise Above. There's so much different a blend of stuff, whether it's gangster rap or straight up punk rock. Those are the things that really kind of get me up when I really need to get that push.
You know what the weirdest answer I've actually gotten? That was actually a very normal answer when it comes to the music question. The weirdest one I've gotten was from Dave Chris. And I don't know if James or if Phil, you were with me during that interview.
I'm
almost certain he said, I think he said Britney Spears. I think that was his go-to get pumped music was Britney Spears.
If that would be a multiple choice question, I would have bet the farm that Dave Chris would not listen to Britney Spears on a workout. But, to each his own.
Well, I mean, he could be full. He told us a lot of stories on that show. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, go listen to it. All I got to say is hashtag Applebee's, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But
I love those dudes, bro. They live a wild lifestyle, and I'm real happy for them because they were real top dudes as Irish Airborne, and to see that they were able to reinvent themselves in Ohio's for Killers, I'm real happy for them.
Oh yeah, they're doing some great stuff, and they're actually starting a training camp right now, if I'm not mistaken. They got all the boys back right now doing that, so I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of that.
What's up?
Is there any quote unquote geek in Kenny King?
Oh yeah, bro. Are you kidding me? Listen, I'm a pro wrestler that plays video games and watches anime. I also watch Jeopardy religiously. Real quick story: I was actually selected to take the test to be on the damn show this year, and I missed it because I was at work. I was doing mocap for a video game, and I missed my 12:00 window to take the test to be on Jeopardy this year. So I'm pissed. So hopefully I'll be able to do it next year.
Hey man, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. You gotta let us know if that happens, man. Because and since and I have to do this, sir. And since this kind of segued me into it, and since we have more female listeners than we have male listeners, FYI, everyone out there. The Bachelorette, you were a contestant on this show. Could you please tell us what that experience was like?
It was bananas,
and I was rooting for you,
dude.
I was rooting for you hard. I'll tell you that much.
Thanks.
I watched it.
That was, most of my friends are saying the same thing. Like, well, damn, bro, I wouldn't have now because of you. I got to watch this crap with my girl, with my lady. That was the general consensus from my friends. But it was wild, man. It was a crazy experience. Like, I didn't, go on the Bachelorette because I was like, I want to fall in love with this particular girl. I went on the Bachelorette because I was just open to the opportunity. I wanted to see what this door was going to open. It was a wild opportunity, being able to travel and, you know, being able to, you know, get to meet this girl. Rachel's fantastic, but really like to, you know, be able to meet these guys that are still some of my best friends. You know, we got this crazy insane group chat going on, and, you know, I think that's what people are so surprised about, is that the majority of the guys remain really, really tight, because it's an experience that, for the most part, nobody really understands but the people that you went through it with. So, you know, the ups and the downs and the in-betweens, it totals off to, it was a fantastic experience. Like, no joke. It was really dope.
No, I had to, you know, listen, man, you're being wicked, you know, really, really nice about the whole situation. But there is definitely one guy on that show, because you're a class act, you know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, I was sitting in my damn living room, and I was like, why isn't Kenny King punching this motherfucker in the face? Excuse my language. But you know who I'm talking about. What has happened with that jackass?
You know, I don't know. We, you know, listen, it was a thing where in the moment, I just was like, this guy knows he's out of his league. He's outclassed. So he's going to try to, you know, create waves and drag people down to hell with him if he has to go. So I figured that out early. But, you know, he just continued to go on and go on. And it's just like, look, all right. So, you know, yeah, I can beat this dude's ass on TV and, you know, and literally justify and validate every stereotype, not only about black dudes, but pro wrestlers, all in one fell swoop. Or, you know, everybody can see what a small, insignificant, petty dickhead he is, and just kind of let him hang himself. And that was obviously the better option.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely hung himself. And, you know, God bless. You know, like I said, you're a class act, dude. You handled that very well. Bravo to you. But I guarantee you, through every house in America was screaming at the screen going, please skin this guy. But anyways, but, you know, one
old
last
ladies,
question for the ladies at home.
I get old ladies that will come up to me and say, I would have kicked his ass if I'm like, okay, you got it, man. Well, I'm glad that you weren't there, you know.
Right. That's great. Right? That's awesome. And I have to ask one last question for the ladies at home. Is Kenny King single and ready to mingle?
Yeah, I am. It's, you know, I'm still out here. I'm still just kind of doing my thing.
All right, then, ladies, don't blow up his inbox. Give him at least 24 hours after the show, damn it. all right, what's next for Kenny King, sir? What are we looking for Kenny King? What can you let us know? What are we looking for?
Well, you know, like full force with ROH into the 2018 schedule. The first show of 2018 is going to be in Nashville, January 20th. That's going to be a TV taping. That's going to take us, I think, all the way through to, if I'm not mistaken, February, where we'll be, our first shows will be North Carolina and Atlanta. You may or may not be able to see me on a related franchise to what we were just talking about sometime in the early part of the year. And that's all I can say about that.
That makes us very, very happy. And we will certainly, and I'm sure Lethal J will be looking very closely for that and be reporting back to us. Couple more questions before we say goodbye to you, sir. Do you have a message for all the boys and girls out there that are trying to break into professional wrestling or into the industry? You know, a little, you know, warning, if you will, or maybe, you know, a little a leg up.
Well, I always ask people, because I'm a head trainer at a school in Vegas called FSW. It's a promotion. It's called Future Stars of Wrestling. It's at FSW Vegas. I think if you want to check it out on the internet, do really great shows. We bring in, not only do we have great students, but we also bring in guys from all over. I mean, Matt Hardy was a champ. Brian Cage comes in. Eli Drake, Austin Aries, TJ Perkins. You know, the list goes on. Everybody who's anybody has been through FSW. But the, the number one question I ask people is, why do you want to do this? Because, and really, I don't even care what they say. As long as they don't say like a couple stupid things like, oh, I want to be rich, or I want to be John Cena, or, you know, or you know, I want to do a triple moonsault off of my garage, like something stupid like that. You know, I don't, it doesn't really matter. The point
right.
is that you have to have a reason why you want to do this. That's valid, because this is going to, this is the most wonderful, demanding, mean, lonely, solitary, self-loathing, beautiful, uplifting, fantastic business there is. The highs and the lows are extreme, and nobody gets us but us. Bosses, girlfriends, wives, friends, family members, nobody's going to understand why you can't hang out with them on Fridays and Saturdays because you've got to drive 7 hours away to play fight in your underwear. It just, it's not, you have to do this for you. Don't ever forget why you're doing this. Don't ever forget why, because it's going to get painful. It's going to hurt. You know, you're going to question, you're going to probably mortgage damn near everything to be able to do this. But if you really love it, it's absolutely worth it. So bust your ass, never believe anything that anybody says, and when you are ready, always gamble on yourself.
There it is, folks. Token words to live by, token words to build a career by. Thank you very much for that, sir. And this is kind of a ritual that I ask of everyone that comes on our show. It's the dreaded. I'm going to wait for Mr. President to give in the background because he always does when I say this. The favorite road story of Kenny King.
Favorite road story that I could actually tell.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's always what they say.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because there's a favorite road story for the boys, and
right,
a favorite
right.
road story for podcasts, that because the internet is undefeated, friends, and we all know this.
Right.
So, all right, this is a good one. This actually took place a very long time ago, back when ROH, the ROH on HDNet days. Was anybody watching ROH back then?
No,
a little bit back there, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to use their names back then because I don't want to. I don't feel like using WWE names. So, Brian Danielson, or El Generico, had set Brian Danielson up with this girl. We were going to Philly every 6 weeks at this point to film HDNet. So like every 6 weeks, like clockwork, we're in Philly. That's where our home base was. So Generico had set Brian up with a girl. And Generico said at first, hey, look, you know, she's cool as hell. We really like her, but she falls hard and she, you know, she acts really crazy sometimes. I know this from a friend. So Brian's like, all right, well, whatever, you know, it's all good. So Claudio, Castagnoli, and Brian come up with, hey, let's rib Generico. So the girl is in on it. So they get, you know, they basically come up with this plan to get her to pretend like she's really, really mad at Brian. And so she starts texting Generico, your friend's an asshole. I can't believe you set me up with this guy. He's trying to hurt me and this. And if he's trying to hurt me, then I'm going to hurt him. And that was the last text message they'd sent. So we had a show at the ECW Arena that night. It was like Friday or Saturday night. So I get wind of this because Brian and Claudio are I was going to go to the Wawa, and they're like, hey, do you know if there's a costume store around here? And I was like, I don't know, like a party store maybe? They wanted to go and get one of those little, like a retractable knife, so like one of the fake ones that pushed in. You know, it flips out and you push it in and it comes in, right?
Yeah, right.
Because, so the goal is now to make her text Brian and make her text Generico like these real vague, oh, I'll see you later, and when I see you, things are going to be a lot different. You're going to feel what you did to me. And Generico's asking Brian, what did you do to this girl? Why is she so angry? And she's like, I don't know. You told me she was crazy. Why would you hook me up with her? So
that was a good impersonation, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So fast forward to the end of the show, right? And so Generico had left her some tickets, but they had already been picked up, and he was like, it's too late it's too late, basically, to pull the tickets back. So he's really nervous, like, oh my God, I hope she's not here. So Claudio kind of sets it up to where people are leaving, and we're all herded like toward the back where the ECW arena is, and Brian happens to be walking out by the curtain, and the girl runs up on Brian and stabs him with the knife just out in front of Generico, who's peeking through the curtain. He throws open the curtain. No! This is my friend! What did you do? And Brian's clutching his stomach and, and Generico is freaking out, and me and Claudio are dying. Because when he's touching his stomach to feel the blood, and he's like, what? And then Brian starts laughing. The girl starts laughing. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. And folks, I'm not going to say who it is, but if you're really any kind of, Ring of Honor fan, you know who El Generico is, and you definitely know who Daniel Bryan is. That was an amazing road story. Thank you very much, sir. And before you go, of course, we want to know where we can find Kenny King on social media so we can, stick close to you and know when the next show is and where we can show up.
Everywhere everywhere that there's social media, you can find me at Kenny King PB2. At Kenny King PB2. I don't like peanut butter. That is Pretty Boy Pitbull. And also, if you want to find ROH, check out at ROH on Twitter and Instagram and ROHWrestling.com. We've got a full, I think up until maybe March, we've got our schedule up on the website. So, coming to a city near you, get some tickets, and then you can watch the KING King make all these suckers bend the knee.
There it is, folks. Kenny King, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on our anniversary special. And congratulations on everything that has happened to you in the last couple of years. God bless, and hope to see you back on the show again real soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll be back anytime.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir. God bless.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya.
Well, folks, if you're just tuning in to the Pin the Shoulders podcast anniversary special, you just missed the Pretty Boy Pitbull, Kenny King, former television champion of Ring of Honor. It was, a pretty awesome conversation. Very classy guy. If you missed the live parts, then make sure you go to the Chair Shot Radio Network, thechairshot.com, and it will be on there. For your listening pleasure within the next couple of days. Well, hey, guys, we have, plenty of time to catch up with each other. I'm very excited, probably a little more excited than most. Whatever. It is what it is. But we want to catch up on the independent calendar. That's kind of what we do. Pinnacle's podcast, support the indies. And the man to, obviously go and talk to that about is the president of wrestling, Philip Stamper. Sir, what's going on? It's been a long time since we've heard the indie calendar on live radio. Tell everyone at home what's going on and where we need to be looking as far as the indie shows.
Well, the big thing is it's the holidays. So the thing I keep getting asked is where are events going to be on Christmas Day itself? And surprisingly this year, I don't have as many as I thought I was going to have. So there is on Christmas Day WCWO in Indianapolis, Wild Championship Wrestling Outlaws. Lucha Memes is running in Mexico.
Nice.
Innovate Pro Wrestling is running in Bristol, Tennessee. The School of Morton is running out of Russellville, Tennessee. And Powerhouse Entertainment is running in Madison, Wisconsin. So a good spread focused mainly in the Midwest, Mid-South area, and then also an event in Mexico. So there are events on Christmas Day. I've been seeing a huge swell of events on holidays because think about it, you're with your family, you do all this stuff with your family during the day, and then at night you're like, okay, I need a refresher, or the family needs to go find something to do. So I'm seeing more and more events pop up on holidays. I think this is all three of these, especially the Innovate event, I think that stands out for me. I think these are going to be something to see, something to have fun with that isn't maybe in what you're thinking of when you're going into your holiday weekend, but look forward to the moment on Monday.
Yeah, man. I mean, or you could just bypass the whole family thing altogether, you know, ditch the itchy sweater and just go to Mexico for Christmas. That's what I'm talking about, man.
There you go.
See, see a wrestling show, don't drink the water, get a horchata. I think that's what they call them. I don't know. I think it's horchata or I don't know.
Actually,
I think it's a milk.
There was a study that was just done because, you know, everybody says, well, you know, doesn't alcohol kill off bacteria? So why do I get these stomach things? Can I drink enough alcohol to combat the bacteria that's allegedly in Mexican water that is,
yes,
could make me ill? And what they found was that if you want to go with that logic, you're more likely to not get sick if you ingest whiskey over vodka. So stick to your whiskey when you're in Mexico, and you might have a literal standing chance.
And that's why we have the president of wrestling on the show every once in a while, because one, he lets us know where to go to the shows, and two, he keeps us up with the FDA approvals. So that's wicked.
Hey,
important.
My mother was a nurse. It's a part of my biology.
Awesome. Mr. Quinn, what is there anything interesting going on, you know, on your side? Do you have any any movie the Sun Festival, the Sun Film, what's the name of it?
The film festival, Sundance.
Yeah. Thank you, the Sundance. I was gonna say Sunflower, but I'm sorry, I apologize, brother.
I bet you there probably is a Sunflower Festival. I'm not privy to it, but I mean they're all out there, right?
Probably just a bunch of hippies in like cotton dresses and munchies. And lots of brownies and stuff.
And
yeah.
Munchies.
That's probably what the and munchies. Yeah.
And munchies.
Well, hey man, Lethal J, let's go ahead and start talking about what's going on in New Japan, because obviously there's a lot of stuff trickling over from New Japan. Obviously, one of them being, and we've been talking about this last couple of weeks with Kenny King that was our guest. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. But what else is going on that's kind of, throwing up the good kind of flags in New Japan?
The World Tag League just finished up, and Evil and Sonata won that. And so they'll be going to Wrestle Kingdom. They're going to take on Killer Elite Squad, which, for people who don't know who that is, that's Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. So that was set up and everything, and of course they had the for those who watched the last night of the World Tag League, that's when Jericho cut another promo and he attacked Kenny and everything, and then Kenny attacked Jericho and all this stuff. So they're really hyping up the Kenny and Jericho thing more than I thought they were going to. Obviously, it's a big match and everything, but I wasn't really expecting to see them kind of really face off until the time comes, which Wrestle Kingdom's right around the corner, so it's coming right up and everything. So I wasn't really expecting them to really do much beforehand, but it's cool. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a huge fan of the match when it was first announced and everything, but as time goes on and the more they hype it up and everything like that, the more intrigued I get about it, for sure. So, like, I'm really interested. And, of course, there was just a new stipulation added to where it's now a no disqualification match, so I'm sure that will play into the finish somehow, you know. It usually does. So that'll be interesting,
right,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's when CM Punk's going to come back. That's what I heard. No, Lethal J's the only one laughing, but Phil, Mr. Stamper, I'm sure you've heard that rumor too.
I have heard it in every possible way. I was part of one rumor, so it's insane. I can't buy it just because I just can't. Like,
right, it's impossible.
I'm I am sure we're going to see Punk at some point, you know, do something with wrestling in the future. I don't know if that'll be as an active competitor. You know, as the story goes, he is somebody who's not starving for money and not trying to find where he's going to get the next penny, per se.
Right.
Just of the lifestyle he lives. So, you know, he was offered however much money it was to wrestle in England, and that didn't pan out. So I'm not holding my breath.
And there's theories about that, too. I mean, he was offered a ridiculous amount of money to do that tournament in England. And then there was theories that, you know, someone stopped him, you know, whoever that may be, stopped him and said, hey, we'll give you this amount of money. Your return should be substantial. And not saying that the tournament over there, overseas, wasn't substantial or anything, but this is, of course, CM Punk. Everyone is, you know, just drooling to see CM Punk show up in a huge capacity. And that's a theory. But like you said, we've been hearing this ever since he left the WWE, and especially after he got his ass kicked in the UFC after his first fight. I mean, everyone just jumped to him, you know, giving up the UFC and going back to wrestling. So, I mean, but, you know, I mean, between him and AJ Lee, they've got plenty of money coming in. So it is what it is. It's a rumor. You know, if people want to keep their hopes alive that CM Punk's going to come back, then it is what it is. What else is going on over there in New Japan, Lethal J?
What else is going on? Well, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff. Recently, they announced that Minoru Suzuki is going to defend his Never Weight Open title against Goto. And it's actually, they actually just added the stipulation recently where it's actually a hair match now, which is actually a pretty big deal for that to happen over in Japan and stuff like that. That's like the one really big thing I really like about New Japan is like they save their gimmick matches for like really big like matches, like, you know, obviously, like on WWE programming, it seems that there's usually a handful of them every pay-per-view. Like, it's a pretty crazy thing to think about that just like a year and a half ago, roughly, like New Japan had their first ever ladder match, and they've been around since the 70s and stuff. So usually when they have a gimmick match like this, it's usually a big match and everything. And, hair matches like are a lot different like outside of the U.S. than what they are. Like, it's a, I mean, obviously it's like a humiliation kind of thing, but like it's a really big deal in places like Japan, places like Mexico, you know, it's like I said, it's nothing like it is compared to.
So it's a disgrace, really.
It is. It's like, I mean, people look at it as that, I'm sure, as, you know.
Like a luchador losing his mask, Samson losing his hair is the kind of the same thing that would happen if Tanahashi or something like that got their hair cut.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's like a really big thing. So that was pretty interesting. That was changed. That was done recently. So that'll be, that's the new stipulation for that. Other than that, just a lot of the stuff, like, they're just kind of finalizing, the Wrestle Kingdom part coming up here in the next week or so. They might already had a couple of the shows. It's going to be, like, the Road to the Tokyo Dome shows. So, you know, they won't have any crazy matches on there, but they'll just keep building towards the feuds and everything. But now Wrestle Kingdom this year is gonna be awesome. I mean, they've never. If those of you who have watched the last, you know, I'd say three or four Wrestle Kingdoms, I mean, they're incredible shows. If you're gonna watch one wrestling show a year, this should be the show to watch. So. I'm really looking forward to it. This is easily my favorite event to watch every year. And quite frankly, like I said, the card from top to bottom is just, it's great. It's going to be really good, and I'm really looking forward to it, for sure.
Awesome. And, of course, we'll keep in touch with you, or you'll keep in touch with us with what's going on with that. And, of course, we'll make sure that we keep pounding you until you give us what we want. That you're the only person in the United States that probably gets up at 3 in the morning to watch New Japan Wrestling. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I plan on taking the day off of work more than likely.
There it is. Well, hey, guys, we're gonna cut the tension a little bit with New Japan. We're going to do a little segment that I like to call
Happy birthday to you.
Bada bing, bada boom. We didn't have any birthdays today, but yesterday was Mean Gene Oakland's birthday, guys. And we all know who Mean Gene Oakland is. The bald guy with the tux and the mustache. Very loud and monotone at the same time. I think it can actually pull that off.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Remember, his role was never to be really a personality. It was just to be I don't even know how to word it. He was the mic holder. I mean, he certainly was more capable than that, but he was that guy that was just known to be the guy to get everybody else over.
And he was awesome. And the thing is, you can't think of, during his era, you can't think of that era without Mean Gene Oakland. I mean, he started off more of as a microphone holder, but of course it progressed to a lot more. It's Mean Gene Oakland's birthday, folks. If you want to go say happy birthday to Mean Gene Oakland, I'm sure he has some kind of social media out there. I've never seen him. But, try to find it. Say happy birthday and tell them Serious Bread and Pin the Shoulders podcast sent you. December 18th is actually kind of a huge time for pro wrestling birthdays. It is actually Stone Cold Steve Austin's birthday. What? Rob Van Dam and Trish Stratus.
What?
And we're not going to – yeah. Thank you, sir. And another birthday – which I feel is kind of pertinent since he's kind of doing this Rusev Day on WWE television. On Christmas, it's Rusev's birthday. Isn't that kind of funny?
That just fits perfectly almost, honestly.
Now I'm kind of getting into it. James, have you seen Rusev and the Rusev Day and the thing that they're doing right now, man?
I've been getting the updates across my phone, but the last couple of weeks I have not gotten to see it, but I heard some good things. I heard it was quality segments, so I have DVR'd and I am going to go back to it, but what can you tell me that's going on there, brother?
Oh, no, it's just, first of all, they found something to do with Aiden English. I don't know if you know who Aiden English was, but he was the tag team partner I think his name was Simon Gotch. Yeah, at the time.
Yeah, I followed him
anyway,
on
Simon
NXT.
Gotch. Yeah, yeah, and of course, Simon Gotch is doing his thing as Grimm right now on the independent circuit. But Aiden English is kind of now a tag team partner with Rusev, his right-hand man, his traveling, singing, I don't even know what to call him. He's just a well-rounded partner. And they started this thing called Rusev Day, and it's actually kind of catching on, and people are enjoying it. He got a huge pop at Clash of Champions. I don't know if anyone watched that or not, but Rusev Day got a huge freaking pop. It was really interesting. It kind of threw me off. But, it's Rusev's birthday on Christmas, folks. So Rusev Day is actually Christmas, and hopefully they don't play any further into that and start calling Rusev the Jesus Christ of wrestling. That would be...
That might be God.
But I've seen, crap like that before.
I wouldn't be shocked if he pulled a savior of wrestling.
Ah, but there is a savior of wrestling. That's JT Dunn right now, I thought.
Well, JT's hurt right now, so, Rusev can borrow it.
That is true. And by the way, JT Dunn, shout out to him. And actually, we can talk about this if you want to, guys, or we can just move along. But I need to give a shout out to JT Dunn because JT Dunn actually... did something really freaking cool. JT Dunn is actually really open about it. He was a former, substance abuse abuser, if you will, and he's recovering substance abuse. And he actually reached out to a man that had a huge problem. It was all over social media. Just incredible. He actually showed up at a show drunk Unfortunately, he did kind of, for lack of better words, he did make a fool of himself. But since then, he has said his apologies. He's owned it very much so. I talked to him the other day. He said just to be there for him, for all his fans to be there for him. That's all, you know, that's all you can do. But JT Dunn was one of the first to say that he wanted to reach out to Justin Credible. I thought that was wicked cool. So I want to give JT Dunn a shout out and say, dude, you're awesome. That's badass. And it's, we need more people like you trying to fix the problem instead of blasting it on social media and making it a lot worse than what it should be. But Justin Credible will be working with Diamond Dallas Page, and he'll be getting the help that he so sorely needs right now and is accepting. So that's a bonus. So I just needed to say that real quick. Another thing I'd like to talk about before, you know, we say our goodbyes for 2017, I might actually start weeping a little bit, is Goldberg. Is Goldberg going to return to WWE Wrestling? I know that he made an appearance with one of your promotions, Mr. Stamper, with MCW. Has he made an appearance since? And was there any rumors of him actually heading back to the WWE?
So, no, that was a one-shot appearance with us. But in it, he was very candid. He said, you know, he didn't expect it when it happened. So he was very super appreciative of the opportunity to go back to the WWE. And kind of in a way, he didn't really say like it was on his terms, but in a way that he felt like he was respected and got along with everybody and that he had kind of a good time with it. And was really expressed more like of a thanks for it. And that, you know, never say never. But if never is now, that he was okay with it. So it was just a really cool thing. And then the next thing you know, he did, I can't remember what they called it on the network, but the Goldberg special. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back and do some more of those, some more retrospective things. There's a lot of the WCW library that we still haven't seen, so I wouldn't be shocked to see him again.
And of course, we'll all look forward to that. That'd be, I mean, what do you think, James? If Goldberg were to return to the WWE, who would you like to see him face? And of course, it's going to be in a WrestleMania capacity because that's the only thing, you know, you can do for, you know, a card like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. Obviously, the last run I think got over really well. Maybe a match that I don't recall if they had it the last time or not, when he was in his early days, rather, I should say, with WWE for that minute he was there. But I wouldn't mind seeing him a Kurt Angle, possibly. I think that would make for a quality match.
That would be an amazing match. I'd have to agree with you. I mean, mine is obviously, and this may be possible, this may not be possible. There's rumors of him self-healing and allowing himself to... doing that is allowing himself to possibly return to the ring again. He's making appearances all over the place right now. Goldberg and Sting. I would absolutely love to see those guys at WrestleMania doing their thing. I don't know what the relationship is right now, but I think that would be it would be sold out. You'd have to rent two arenas and put one on top of the other. That's how I feel about that. What about you, Lethal Dan? Who would you like to... What's that?
I'm sorry, but as this thing was being rumored to come back then, I didn't hear that.
Well, no, I heard rumors that Sting was, you know, he was going to do the surgery to repair what was wrong with him. His doctors said that if, you know, you do the surgery, most likely you're not going to return to the ring. If you were to recover on your own, let your body do what it was meant to do, then you would have you would have a higher percentage to return to the ring. He opted to do that. And he's, like I said, he's been making appearances at Comic-Cons and Russell-Cons, stuff like that. And I guess he looks really healthy. So, I mean, fingers crossed. I mean, that's a dream match for me. I mean, Sting,
never say never.
Sting with Undertaker, Sting with anyone that's, kind of missed the boat with the whole Sting thing. I would just love to see it. But that's just me. Lethal J, who would you like to see Goldberg go up against if he was to do another run of WWE?
I definitely can't see him working with anybody young. I know that's kind of broad, but I mean, I could see him coming back and working. I don't know, I could see him working with somebody like Triple H, or he could come back and work with somebody like Kane. I don't see him doing another super high profile feud, honestly. If they would bring him back, it would more than likely, in my opinion, just be something. It'd be like one of those mid card spectacle matches where they would pair him up at like a WrestleMania or something like that with another former, top guy. I really don't see them doing another thing like they did with Lesnar. But, by all means, if they want to bring him back and do something like that, I wouldn't have a problem with it, because I, quite frankly, enjoyed a lot of that, a lot of those segments and everything like that. But, yeah, I could, like I said, I could see him coming back and working with some older guys and stuff like that. I've read a few things recently that saying, I guess after this year, people like Randy Orton apparently is going to start cutting back his work schedule big time and stuff. He's getting to be older and I obviously wouldn't be opposed to seeing Goldberg come back and having a match with somebody like Orton, or even Cena. That would be, anything to keep those guys out of the bigger, highlight matches. I mean, nothing against them or anything, but, especially with the last few years and what's been happening with WWE, I really want to see some new faces start to pop up and stuff. So, I could see him, if I did see him come back, it'd probably be with, somebody that they weren't trying to push, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's there's a lot of things that the WWE has dropped the ball on, if you will. We've talked about this before. One of them being Shinsuke Nakamura. They dropped the ball horribly with him. I'd like to see them. The only thing that's going to bring him back to the proper light he deserves is, of course, him and AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
I think
to agree with you.
And the more and more I think about it, I don't know. I don't know if it's just I don't know if they just aren't open to, the Japanese strong style kind of a match. Because, he just hasn't done it at all. I'm very disappointed. He's one of my favorite in-ring workers of all time, and he's been extremely underutilized. He, unfortunately, has just gotten to the point where he's just another face in the crowd. He's just another mid-carder. And it sucks, quite frankly, because, not only is he one of the, he's one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time, he's also one of the most charismatic, characters in wrestling ever. And it's unfortunate what they're doing with him. It's really, really unfortunate.
And we've talked about this before, Mr. Stamper. WWE has an overflow of talent. They don't know what to do, where to put these top-notch guys, these top-card guys. What do you think they need to be doing within a WWE? If they're going to bring all this talent in, do you think there's any solution to that, or they're just going to be stuck in limbo?
Well, as I said, I think they're stuck in a little bit of limbo. And I'll be honest, I haven't dug too deeply into the headlines of, seeing McMahon is talking about bringing back the XFL. I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah.
But part of me has been going, what is Vince thinking about? And if you really do think about, I've said this before, and I can't remember if I've said it this way on here before, but the WWE is not wrestling on television. It's a TV show starring the McMahon family that sometimes features wrestling.
Yes.
And And people, and we all forget that because we want to see good wrestling. We want to see these other people in the world of wrestling. And the one thing that came out about, you know, Nakamura is allegedly Vince was like, I don't get it. I don't understand what this, oh, he's an artist? Is that what he is? Like, you know, I could almost in my brain hear it. Like,
so he's coming out and he has this violin music, right? Okay. Okay, and he's like he's kind of weird and kind of out there, like, okay. So he's like a hippie. He's a hippie from Japan. Okay, I understand it now.
Like, I can see, like, him trying to break down the easy way to get you to understand it. And,
right.
And it's so weird because as much as I love wrestling, and I'm that guy that, like, loves the story that I see in wrestling, at the same time, you need a little bit of ease of access of what's going on. And you can only have so many guys on top. You're going to have only so many guys who are, I am Mr. Serious Wrestler Dude. I don't know. Like seeing, like, the fact that they're doing Matt Hardy as Woken.
Yes.
Is great to see, but the biggest concern about him doing it in the first place was, oh, is it going to come off too much like when as a Bray Wyatt, since, you know, they kind of tried to tease,
and they're having a problem
Matt
with that right now.
Impact. Right, they don't have that problem right now, and even if they did, they sort of worked it that it was, it's just two different guys, but they had to sort of build that, and I'm sure that there was some confidence building that had to take place behind the scenes to allow him to do it, even though he's been playing teases of this gimmick for almost a year now in the WWE universe. So now we've seen it. Okay, that's great. Where's it going to go? And I think that's the biggest concern is WWE does great on intros. They do great showing you the good at first. And then they don't do such a good job of making you want to come back.
Exactly, and that's the thing is you had to have that trail of breadcrumbs to kind of just keep us going and keep. I mean, it's one thing like you said to have that intro and be like, oh, you know, Matt Hardy is coming. Oh, you know, Finn Balor is coming. Whoever, you got to make sure. I mean, and granted, there's always bumps in the road. There's injuries. There's, you know, there's just unfortunate things that happen that won't allow that wrestler to continue with that storyline. But you should certainly have, you know, a well-rounded, you know, start-to-finish storyline when you're having these big people come in because, you know, that's one of the problems that we've always talked about when it comes to bringing independent performers and wrestlers to the big show is, yeah, we know who you are and we know what to expect, but when they come, everything that we expected is not being displayed through them. That's what we yearn for.
Absolutely.
You know, basically, I think the problem with a lot of that is that, like a lot of, I think a big reason that we're not seeing a lot of these huge, big matches from people in the WWE is because they wrestle the same match 20 times in a row. Like, it feels, you know, like that's the one big thing that completely blows my mind, and that's, it's, like, the thing that is just so drastically different. Like, like, I've been watching wrestling since I was a kid. I've been watching wrestling for close to 20 years now, and it's so crazy. It blows my mind the amount of times that, okay, so when they're building a match for a pay-per-view, the two guys that are going to wrestle each other at the pay-per-view wrestle every week in some form of another. Like, that never, ever used to happen, I feel. Like, I don't know if that's just me, if I'm remembering.
Well, no, we've talked about this before. No, when the heavyweight champion was a heavyweight champion, you didn't see, you seen him, but you never seen the heavyweight champion wrestle until a pay-per-view. And that falls in the same line.
You know, and now they're wrestling the guy that they're going to wrestle you know, in singles matches and tag matches. Oh, we're going to do a triple threat this week. We're going to do this week. We're going to do, you know, it's just something different every week, but it's the same shit. It's something different every week, but it's always the same thing. And it's like, by the time they get to, like, the pay-per-view, it's just kind of like, to me sometimes, I'm just like, okay, well, I don't even want to see this now because they've done everything. Not to mention, like, it's not like they can save themselves, like, to do this big crazy match, you know, and then you get a chance to rest for, like, a week or two after because you just had this grueling, incredible contest. No, it's because the next night on Raw, you're probably going to wrestle them again in a rematch. You know, it's just... It's right. Just a never-ending cycle of the same thing over and over and over again. And it just gets so stale, so damn quick. It's really frustrating.
And that's probably why, James, you're such a huge Ring of Honor fan, because Ring of Honor, they tend to have a little more spice and variety with their content.
Yeah, Brad, they get it. I mean, they still get it. It takes me back to a better time, touching on what Jay said, man, going back 20, 25 years even. Yeah, it takes me back to the old days of NWA wrestling, the early days of ECW, where they understand the product, they understand what the fans want, and they give the fans what they want. You know, and that's why I love independent
Absolutely.
Wrestling, that's why I love Ring of Honor and New Japan, because they get it.
Yes, sir. And that's what's great about it is you know, we can sit down and, you know, watch a WWE program and enjoy, you know, the soap opera is what I call it, my redneck soap opera. But if we really want to watch some true wrestling, of course, that's why we always say support the indies. Go check out, you know, Ring of Honor, New Japan, even Impact. No, Impact may not be doing all that great, but I tell you what, they're interesting as fuck. They always have something that's, I mean, I'm not too happy about what they're doing with James Storm. I said a little something on Facebook. I don't even know who the guy is that he's wrestling because I haven't been paying attention to it. That's why we're going to have a correspondent for Impact, hopefully here soon.
Right.
But he's, you know, he was wrestling this older man. I think he's another, you know, it looked like Johnny Unitas or whatever, that guy that was on WWE. But it's just like James Storm is such a great talent. I really enjoy James Storm. I love Beer Money. I loved Cowboy James Storm. I was really excited when he went to NXT for that one fucking match. I was hoping that he was going to stay.
Not even getting me started on Beer Money.
Yeah, you don't like Beer Money?
Oh, I love them. I mean, I think that was one of the best homegrown products they did in tag team wrestling, and they just let it fall apart. The TNA. That was one of the best things that they created in tag team when they had them and the machine guns, and they let it all fall apart. It was hot and heavy, and then they said, you know what, fuck it. We had our day.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, who knows? Maybe James Storm's doing that career versus career match with that old guy here. Maybe he'll actually lose, and he'll go back to NXT, get to the main card, see Bobby Roode, and maybe we'll see Beer Money again, bro. See him roll down in a motorized cooler and, help Bobby Roode with a heavyweight championship match or some shit like that. I would enjoy the hell out of that. That's flavor. I like that. I like a little bit of flavor.
It would get over. They'd have some pop there.
And, of course, folks, there's other independent promotions. You heard it from Mr. President a bunch earlier in the show. But, you know, like I said, there's MCW, there's Rockstar Pro, there's House of Hardcore Wrestling. There's just so many promotions out there that are displaying incredible talent, and I promise you, you're not going to be bored. There's always another path from the mundane, and WWE will get stale, it will get monotonous, and you're going to want to, you know, check out something different. I guarantee you'll find something. Just type in independent pro wrestling. You're going to be amazed. But, guys, we're getting close to the end of the show. I want to make sure that everyone knows where we can find you guys on social media. Mr. President, go ahead and let everyone know where we can check out Phil, the president of Wrestling Stamper.
You can find me online on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, and on YouTube at TS Phenom, and on Twitch, and on Facebook at Desk of Phil Stamper.
There it is. Mr. James Quinn, Where can we find you, sir? I think you're the same way. You got smart and got all your social media on one name.
Yeah, I think it's easiest for everybody anymore. You know what I mean? That way, it's none of that crazy thing trying to figure out where everybody's at. They know, hey, these are the JQ. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything else you can think of is always the JQ way. And I appreciate all the followers and everybody's support. And you know what, Brad? This is a season finale, so I would be remiss if I didn't. At least we were talking about the independent promotions that we support. I want to at least give a shout out to our friends at the IWF and Rocky Mountain Pro. You know, it was a big part of the first half of our year, and the guys were fantastic with us. So I hope everything's going well for them still too.
Absolutely, and you know, there's like you said, there was IWF. There was Rocky Mountain Pro, and there's a couple other guys that helped us throughout the first season of Pin the Shoulders podcast. One of them was Rockstar Pro. We got to hang out with Dave Chris, Trey Miguel, the Iron Manager, a bunch of people from them. So there's a bunch of promotions out there that has helped us substantially, and we thank you all. And Lethal J doesn't have any social media yet. I've been doing hashtag Lethal J, so maybe we can build a database for this guy. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah. You need to talk about your world's laziest wrestling fan.
Come on, Jay. We need you. Let's get us on board.
Yeah, dude. I got to do that. Yeah, I agree. That'll be my goal for the new year. There, I'll plan on that being my New Year's resolution.
There you have it. But guys, before we go, I have to say, not only thank you to our listeners at home. You guys have been awesome supporters of the show. We love you very much. We do this for you guys. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Greg DeMarco, the Chair Shot Radio Network. But to be honest with you, thank you to Phil Stamper. Thank you to James Quinn. Thank you to Lethal J. Actually, thank you to Nick Tendo, who was actually a one-episode member of the Round Table. To Get Bundles, man. He's part of the TGC group, the Game Changers. That's right, man. Shout out to you, dude. And I just want to say thank you to all you guys. You guys made Pin the Shoulders podcast really, really special to me. It's been a lot of hard work. And, just thank you to you guys. You guys rock, and you really honestly made this something very important to me.
Well, it's very important.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. What was that?
I said we love the show, brother. You know what I mean? And thanks to all the fans that have been tuning in to Pin the Shoulders. And you know what? 2018's coming, so things are just starting to heat up, folks.
Absolutely. And like I said before we sign off, our first interview of 2018 is going to be January 10th. And we're going to have Matt Riddle joining us.
Bro.
And bro. Hashtag bro. But absolutely, we're looking forward to that. And we're going to be having people like Scorpio Sky, the Jim Nasty Boys. We're going to have Shane Taylor from Ring of Honor. You know what, folks? I told you that I was going to do my best to make Pin the Shoulders podcast the best and continue. I'm going to continue doing that. And I promise you, year two is going to be absolutely dope, and you guys are going to be happy that you stuck around and hung out with Sirius, Brad, Lethal J, the Round Table, Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling, James Quinn, shout-outs to Nick Tendo. Trust me, stick around, because Pin the Shoulders podcast is here to stay, and remember, folks, it is never bad time to be serious. God bless, and happy New Year.